Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Monday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new hop-infused hard seltzer, hard hops, blackberries infused with strata hops made with real blackberries, and available now at a store near you. Let's talk some NBA draft with friend of the program, Gary Parrish, joining us from CBS Sports. He's also on in Memphis, Grind City Media, at Gary Parrish. CBS is where you can follow him on Twitter. Gary, good morning to you. I do have a bone to pick with you right out of the gate today. Just right
off the start. Okay, pick it.
So
pick it here.
My co-host texts me, hey, Gary Parrish could be on the show tomorrow. I'm like, yes, dude, I love his work. Let's talk some college hoops. See, I don't follow it that closely. He does a lot closer than I do. I'm like, all right, he's coming on. Let's see what his last mock draft has Portland doing with the 11th overall pick. So I go to CBSSports.com, where you can find all your great work. I'm scrolling down. I see the Blazers drafting 11th, Jace Richardson. And I don't know if you're familiar with our history with 6'3" guards who are kind of combo tweener guys. We've drafted a lot of those guys over the last handful of years, Gary. Jace Richardson to Portland in your last mock. Why should I not be pessimistic about that?
Well, past injury stuff and issue stuff is never an excellent predictor of the future, but I can understand why you can deal with PTSD. As someone who lives here in Memphis, you know, we once passed on Steph Curry to take Hashim Tabit with the number 2 overall pick in a draft. So anytime a traditional center who's considered a defensive presence is in the Grizzlies' range, there is somebody who always brings that up and says, no, not again. So I hear where you're coming from. With Jace, I'm just a believer in him, period. And at that point in the draft, if he's still available, he is somebody I would have on the list of best prospects available. He's, a smaller combo guard. But once he was placed into the starting lineup at Michigan State, because he did not begin the season there, he was really tremendous. Over about a 15-game stretch, averaging 16 points, 5 rebounds per contest, obviously took them pretty deep into that bracket. He became their best player over time, and I don't know that they thought he was going to be that in the preseason. Just because his dad was a longtime veteran in the NBA guarantees nothing, but that is something I can tell you front offices do value. The children of professional athletes, not just NBA players, but was your mom a serious athlete? Was your dad a baseball player, a football player? Just growing up around professionals is something that there is some evidence that pays dividends for prospects. So you throw all that into a pot, mix it up, and I think you've got a legitimate lottery option in Jace Richardson. And for a Portland franchise that has some interesting front court pieces, but still obviously needs a lot to get back into a place where you're contending for anything of significance. Mm-hmm. I do think you look for best prospect available, somebody who could develop into a difference maker. And at least in my mind, Jace Richardson is one of those guys.
Did anything surprise you coming out of the combine after all the workouts, all the interviews? What stuck out to Gary Parrish about the combine this year?
Well, I think one of the bigger headlines is that just Ace Bailey is not some 6'10" wing the way he's been described for more than a year now. Like, everybody talks about him like he's Kevin Durant, and he is an interesting prospect. And I understand why everybody has him in the top 5, myself included, but without shoes, he measured just a little better than 6'7". He is not a 6'10" wing. And I know that might not matter dramatically. It's not going to be the type of thing that sends him from being the 3rd pick to the 13th, but just suddenly he's a little more average size than you would have thought. And when you consider that at the collegiate level, he did nothing but score, impacted the game in no other way, there starts to be some real question marks surrounding him. Not whether he'll go in the top 10 or the lottery, but you talk to front office people really throughout the season, but especially post-combine, and they will tell you that he's a pretty divisive prospect. Some people think he has a chance to be the best player from this draft, Cooper Flagg included, if he actually reaches his potential, like if his actual game film starts to line up more with his highlights, because the highlights are tremendous. There's just not a lot of them. They're not consistent. But there are people who believe in the upside of the potential. There are others who think he's, you know, an average-sized wing who does nothing but try to score and impacts the game in no other positive way, and you pass on people like that because you don't win with them. I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I'm a little lower on him than some, but I'm still intrigued by the talent, even though, to circle back to the original point, he did not measure well at the combine.
Interesting. We're talking with Gary Parrish of CBS. You can check out all his great work, CBSSports.com, college basketball analyst. He's also on a Grind City Media in Memphis, at Gary Parrish, CBS on Twitter. As we're looking at that 11 spot, I mean, I joke with you about Jace Richardson, but I see all the arguments you're making. You don't want to make those same mistakes twice of, oh, we've made this mistake in the past, so let's not ever take a 6'3" guard again. Who are the other guys kind of in that range for you? You know, I know Carter Bryant's a name that's shown up a lot when we've started to talk about draft stuff. You
Cedric
have him,
Cedric Howard.
I mean, Derek Queen's a name that's kind of in that mix. Who are the guys in that range that are realistic for Portland that do stand out to you? Is there like a pecking order of, man, if this guy's there at 11, that's the guy that you want to absolutely take a swing on? How do you feel about that portion of the draft?
So I'm glad you brought up Carter Bryant, because he's somebody and probably the main person I have changed my opinion on since the end of the college basketball season. Like, you know, I'm privy to all of the numbers. I have conversations with front offices. I know that he's been on their radar, even if he was just a role player at Arizona. But as you watch these playoffs unfold, the thing that becomes undeniable is that everybody needs, you know, switchable wings with size who can knock down a shot and make big plays on the defensive end of the court. Like, the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. Sure, because Jalen Brunson is awesome, and because New York City has become a real advantage for them. Just the whole scene is something special. But having Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby and Josh Hart, like just gritty wings that can switch everything and make a shot and provide toughness and length and just difficult matchups, those guys are immensely valuable. They'll never be in the Hall of Fame, or at least they probably won't be in the Hall of Fame, but they can help you hang banners. And so Mikal Bridges is a great example of this. He's coming out of Villanova. He checks all of these boxes that we're talking about, but people are still debating, do you really use a top 10 pick on somebody who projects as never going to be a star? Probably best case scenario, he's a really good role player. Well, eventually he does, you know, get picked 10th in that draft, but it was 10th. It wasn't 4th. It wasn't 6th. And then you fast forward a few years later, and guess what the Knicks are willing to do? Quite literally give up 5 first-round picks for that guy, because he can do that thing. So I am not against taking projected role players, particularly 3-and-D wings, very high in the draft, because you win with those guys. And Carter Bryant, I can't promise you he's going to pan out. You know, every general manager in the NBA has missed on a guy like this.
Right.
But he checks the boxes. 6'8", he can make a shot. He is a plus defender, takes pride on that end of the court, still very young. Just if you were trying to identify somebody in that range who could develop into, fast forward 5 years, and you need a stop, and that's the guy that you took back in the 2025 NBA draft, and he's going to be the one who gets it for you, you'll never regret having that guy on your roster if he develops into that thing, and Carter Bryant's got a chance to do it.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Gary, it feels like we've maybe hit a little bit of a sweet spot here. It's been a while since this has happened, right? The high schoolers leave and NBA teams draft them, and then they can't stop themselves. The league steps in and says, we're doing a one-and-done rule. And for a long time, I would argue it kind of killed college basketball. These kids come in, they play, they're gone. We don't get to see them grow in college. They go straight to the NBA. It feels like NIL has maybe balanced this a little bit. Now, you're still going to get your Cooper Flags, your Ace Baileys, your Dylan Harpers. But I'm curious how many NBA people now maybe like that these kids are going back to college. They're making a ton of money to go back, $2, $3 million maybe a season, whatever it is. And they're a little more polished. How this has kind of balanced it out a little bit in the NIL world, where College Hoops is bringing back rosters or players we recognize, while also the NBA is getting maybe more experienced, more polished products in the draft.
I think it's great for everybody. And I know that people get a little turned off by the money and the transactional nature of what college sports has become in many ways. But it's good for college basketball to have great players in school. It's good for college basketball to have recognizable players in school. And for a while, let's just talk about Jalen Brunson for a second, since he came up earlier. You know, Jalen Brunson was not ready to go be a lottery pick when he left Villanova. He wasn't even going to be a first round pick, probably. But there was just sort of an idea there of, I've won national championships, I've been the national player of the year, it's just time to get on with it, my professional career, whatever that looks like, as opposed to go back to college and play basketball again for a scholarship and a cost of attendance stipend. Well, if you fast forward Jalen Brunson's career to present day, I am quite confident he would probably just go back to Villanova for another year, because they'd pay him $4 million and he would be worth more in college than he would have been as a rookie in the NBA. And that is what we're seeing all over the sport right now. Like you said, this will change nothing for a Cooper Flagg or a Dylan Harper or an Ace Bailey. You know, those guys are projected one and done top five picks coming out of high school. They live up to those expectations in their 1 year of college, and now they'll be drafted accordingly. They have to go. There's too much money involved, and there's also too much future stuff involved, where those are the type of prospects that they want to get to that second contract as soon as possible, because that's where you get the generational wealth. But for anybody outside of what we're talking about, and at this point, I would say anybody who's not a lock to go like in the top 20 of the draft, you need to seriously be considering staying in college another year, because if you are a great college player, regardless of what your NBA prospects are, you can literally make $3.5, $4, $4.5, $5 million in 1 year of college basketball right now. Think about it. We're talking about playing at most 40 games, and you're playing on national television and sold out arenas. You're probably the best player on your team for $4 million. That is a lot more attractive than being drafted 37th. Sure, getting you a contract, but you're probably splitting time between the NBA and the G League. When you're in the G League, you're on commercial flights, row 34B, connecting in Atlanta, going to a little arena, playing in front of nobody on a streaming service. Or you can play on Big Monday. Or you can play on Big Monday and make more money. So it's drawing people back to college, and it is allowing the NBA to have a more of a developmental process at the college level, and it's allowing college basketball to be better than it's been in a long time. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that four of the best 10 basketball teams of the entire KenPom era, which dates back to the 90s, happened to make the Final Four this season. Why is that? In my opinion, it's because there are more good, experienced players in college basketball right now than there's been in a long time. And we're getting better basketball, period.
Interesting. Well, you didn't help me recover from my PTSD from 6'3 guards, but maybe...
How did he not do
maybe
that?
Maybe I'm on the road. Maybe I'm on the pathway to see the light. I'm not quite there yet, but Gary Parrish has helped me see the light.
Guess who else was a 6'3 combo guard coming out of college?
Ooh.
Gary Parrish.
Curry.
Yeah, that's true. He's pretty good.
Hey, Gary, real quick, before we let you go, we appreciate the time, by the way. Love your work. I think Walter Clayton Jr. could be Jamal Murray. And his measurements kind of came in close, I think, to where Jamal currently is. Your thoughts on him?
He could be Jamal Murray. He could be Shabazz Napier. You know, like, it's hard to know. Here's what I do know. Before that NCAA tournament run, nobody was really talking about Walter Clayton as a first-round prospect. Then he was amazing. And, I use that word intentionally. He was incredible throughout that run and did a lot of stuff that makes you think, man, why won't this work in the NBA? But he is on the smaller side. He doesn't take much of an interest on the defensive end of the court. And you can be the best shot maker and shot creator in the world, but if a coach can't play you because you can't guard your position, it doesn't matter how – you can't shot create from the bench. Mm-hmm. And that would be my concern with him. Is he good enough he's great at some things. Is he good enough at the other things to get on the court, stay on the court so that he can do those other things? Those are questions, but, you know, this is hard. You know, Sam Presti is widely considered to be the best of the best, and even he misses on guys basically every year. This is among the hardest things to do is identify which prospects are going to work and why. And Walter Clayton Jr. is a great example of that. There are people who would take him in the top 25 and others who would tell you we wouldn't touch him in the top 45.
Well, Dirt, let's get him back on. We trade for Jaren Jackson Jr. and we take him from Memphis.
Wow. Shots fired, man.
Unless you guys want to be the ones to give him $350 million, then maybe you can take him.
Oh, great stuff. Gary Parrish is a CBS Sports college basketball analyst. Of course, Grind City Media in Memphis as well. Gary Parrish, CBS on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Always appreciate the time. Thanks for it, man, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.